But hey, go with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 4 this morning, if you would. And I want to bring to you the fifth miracle, recorded for us in the 35 miracles of our Lord. Now, I do believe there's 35 recorded miracles for us. Some have said they see mainly 33, but I believe Dr. Charles Ryrie certainly recognized two that should be dealt with as miracles. So we have 35 totally recorded for us, but our Lord did so many miracles every day that John declares that if all the things He said or did were recorded in books, there wouldn't be enough books to hold it during just His three-year ministry. Think about that for a moment. But we have 35 that gives us a definite picture of this miracle-working God. If there's miracles, there's a God that can do miracles. And we know that God is in the miracle-working business, and we rejoice in that. And most importantly, what we're going to see this morning out of Mark chapter 1, also in Luke chapter 4, find both those places, we'll read, what we see is the authority of the Word of God. And never forget this. I hope this settles in during this 35 messages of the miracles of Christ. We have 30 more to go. But I hope what you understand is that the Word of God is much more powerful and more prevalent than the miracles of God. And so many folks want the miracles. Don't give me the Word. I'm not in for that. Let me have the miracles. I want to feel more today. I want more evidence, you know. I want the evidence. I don't want the Word. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a dangerous place to be. And that's where a lot of our church world is today. Let me see the miracles. Let me have the feelings. I'd rather have that. You know, even, and I'm going to give this minister the benefit of the doubt. I think he just misspoke. Boy, it was all over the internet. And a great pastor's son who's got a good church down in Atlanta, a large church in Atlanta, and I won't even call his name, but he made this statement. He says that, you know, our faith doesn't depend on 66 ancient books. He is so wrong. Our faith does depend on 66 ancient books. And then he went on to say, because that, you know, the evidence of the Holy Spirit in us is what makes it so different. Listen, yes, the evidence of the Spirit in me makes it different, but these 66 books is what Jesus referred to. What did Jesus use when He was tempted of the devil in the wilderness? The Scriptures. He didn't use the fact that He was the very Son of God in flesh, that at that very moment He could have done any miracle He wanted to do. He could have struck Satan down and just speaking if He so chose. But what did He use? The Word of God. So what I want to encourage you is during these days when we're talking about the miracles are tremendous, and this miracle particularly shows the authority of His Word. Because in this miracle, He's casting out a demon. And four out of the 35 miracles that our Lord performs are casting out demons or exorcism. And demonic activity picked up tremendously when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, by the way. John in 1 John talked about that. He said that spirit of the Antichrist, this demonic spirit, is here. And so when Christ came to this earth, demons were, piled on and piled in activity when Jesus walked this earth. Now, He also prophesied out of 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 1, He said that in the latter days, the Holy Spirit said these very words, that in these last days, the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there was a warning right here that there would be an outpouring of demonic spirits in these last days. And ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing that. You're witnessing that. You're standing back and you say, what on earth is going on? And how is this continuing on? There's an outpouring of demonic spirits you don't believe that, read Revelation chapter number 9. In Revelation 9, there's two demon armies that are released during that period. And I'm convinced those are being released. Some of those are being released today. Why such demonic movement for the, in essence, the transgender movement and all of this? Where on earth did that come from? Demon spirits. Demon spirits as is being released. Demonic powers. So we're going to see more of that. So you need to understand the authority of the Word of God in these days that we are in, when satanic spirits are more, I won't say more powerful, but more prevalent. They're around us everywhere. And I'm not going to fill you with fear today. I don't want to do that in any form or fashion. And I don't want you going out and expecting a demon to jump out from behind any bush. No, I'm just telling you that what you're seeing happen in our world, the wars, the rumors of wars, the wars that's going on, believe you me, Satan is all in that. He loves the destruction of humanity. He loves that. These poor old soldiers, both Russian and Ukrainians. And I'm on the side of the Ukrainians, but I feel them Russian boys are going to hell. See, what a sad thing. If they're not believers, and for the most part they're not, because they're raised atheistic, no thought of God. And those poor Russian soldiers, Ukrainian soldiers, they're being murdered, and Satan is standing back in wonderful glee and happiness because he loves death. And he's a murderer from the beginning and is a liar from the beginning. And he is happy at all that is going on there. Nothing pleases the devil more than to take a human being and damn that soul to hell because that person was made in the image of God. And every human being that Satan sees, I don't care how well you're dressed or what color your skin is, every human being is made in the image of God, and Satan wants to damn you to hell. That's just the way he is. He's a murderer, and he's a father of murderers and a liar, and he loves all this murder that's going on. Understand that. And he and the demons of hell are being poured out today. So we need this miracle to understand. Our Lord, by his command, cast this demon out. And you see the very authority of the Word of God. You have right there in your hands, right there that you're holding or maybe laying in your lap, you have the very Word of God, the very tool that defeats Satan and all the demons of hell and the demonic spirit and the spirit of the Antichrist in these days. In Mark chapter number 1, look at verse 21. And here's our Lord Jesus. And they, the Jesus and his disciples, Mark 1:21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and he taught there. Now, our Lord Jesus, it was his custom always, always to be in the synagogue. The very term straightway there means this is something he always did on the Sabbath day. He went, what we would say in our day, he went to church. It was the Sabbath day, of course, Jewish Sabbath on Saturday. Jesus was in the synagogue in Capernaum. Luke chapter, what is that, chapter number 7 tells us that this was the synagogue that the Roman centurion had actually paid for and built for the Jews. So it was a special place, and we'll see it mentioned again in a miracle that happens in Luke chapter number 7. But Jesus enters this synagogue. This is his fifth miracle, as far as we can tell. And he enters the synagogue, and he enters on the Sabbath day, and the Bible tells us, and he taught. Now, our Lord was the custom in a synagogue. Custom in the church is if you had a visitor there, which Christ was not from Capernaum, so he would have been a visitor, then he would be the one that would be honored to read the scriptures. They'd have had him to read certain scriptures, and we'll read those in a moment, so you'll get an idea of what Jesus preached from when he taught. But let's read the whole account first. Verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine or his teaching, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. They were astonished. The word astonished carries with it this thought. It means to strike a blow. we might say in our vernacular today, they were blown out of their mind when Jesus brought such forceful truth and was speaking with such authority. Notice that. And it says that he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. The scribes, no doubt, by this very statement, were there just making suggestions, even as the statement I made from the pastor there in Atlanta, making suggestions instead of the authority. And here's Jesus, here's God in the flesh, and he's standing there, and he's pronouncing his word. Man, it comes as the voice of one who spoke the worlds into existence, and they understood, hey, this is truth. This is actually truth. This is not suggested here. This is not implied. And the those religious leaders that would, we might say, dance around a subject or whatever, Jesus just comes and speaks so plainly with force and authority. And when that happened, look at verse 23. There was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Here was a man that was demon possessed. And understand, demon possession is real, very real. It's all over the world today. And he cried out, he who? This man? No, actually the demon voice, the devil that had inhabited this man, spoke out of this man. So the poor, poor people in this world who are demon possessed, they are being used of the devil. Their body's a slave, and that demon spirit is speaking through them and working through them. So they're really enslaved. He has the demon within them has the power to speak through them. Now, I'm not going to make you fearful, but I've heard a demon voice come out of a man before. And it surprised the man, young man, just in his early 20s, surprised him. To the point that he was filled with fear when that voice spoke out of him. And he grabbed his throat and he said, I cannot... What was that, preacher? And I said, it wasn't a what, it was a who. And that demon spirit spoke out of him with a low guttural sound that's demonic, certainly. And I heard that myself. I saw that and worked with the man for an hour and a half to deliver him out of that. So I'm saying to you, demonic possession is a real thing. And it's not some hype story that Hollywood come up with. No, this man, demon possessed, he spoke out. But what, can I say, what coerced him to speak? It was the authority of the teaching that Jesus was speaking. That truth prompted this demon to speak. Notice what he says. Let us alone, he said in verse 24. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then all the folks in the church, or we'd call it the synagogue, all that were in the synagogue were amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, and they do obey him. So they told the truth here. Seizing this, to add to it so our picture is clear. In verse 31, they came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Here he is. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit, an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice. The very description Luke gives is this man shouted. He interrupted the whole service. He screamed and interrupted the whole service. And he said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And the very statement, hold thy peace, same thing Mark describes is literally be muzzled, or we would say in our day, shut up. That's a strong statement, wasn't it? Shut up. Be quiet. Jesus stopped it instantly. When the devil, and here's something that Luke records, Luke being a physician would give us this. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, threw him out in the crowd, he started convulsing and convulsions took over and threw him in the crowd there gathered in the synagogue. Then it says, he, this demon, came out of him, and I love what Luke records, and hurt him not. Our Lord Jesus rebuked this devil and cast him out of this man, and he was left without any harm. That's what Jesus does. He delivers souls and makes them better, not worse. And this demon spirit left out. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves. Let me point out a few things about this passage this morning that you need to understand. We need to focus on the authority of God and the authority of His Word. Preaching the truth is what prompted and coerced the demon to yell out. He couldn't stand it. What did Jesus preach? Well, go back. Let me just take you back to the Old Testament. Here was the normal scriptures that was read, and Jesus would have read these that morning. He would have read these, and no doubt He spoke from them. Because after He read, and they would have, He would pray what we would call a formal prayer, then that individual was allowed to speak. And boy, when he preached with authority and firmness and knowledge of, hey, this is truth and you need it. That's how Jesus spoke. I'll tell you some more about that in a moment. But here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, Deuteronomy 6, these verses is some that Jesus would read that morning. He read them, I'm sure. The Jewish tradition today is to read these same verses that I'm going to read to you this morning, or we'll read together. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, just one, Jehovah. That capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is the word Jehovah. Yahweh, it is Jesus. You can substitute Jesus right there because He is Jehovah. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Here's what he read. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. You can just say in verse 7, he says, you need to tell your children over and over and over again, every day, every hour of the day, every moment that you have when you're around them, tell them the truth of God. Give them the truth of the Scriptures. Pour it into them. Why do you think the demonic spirits worked so hard in 1962 and 63 to get the Bible and prayer taken out of the school? Because they knew if you keep putting this truth out there, they're going to believe it. In 1980, the Ten Commandments was removed from all the public buildings. And I read one of those who wrote that decision out of the Supreme Court who wanted it removed, he said this, if those commandments are posted, then someone might read them. Yeah. Someone might believe them. Yeah. And someone might do them. Yeah. I say, hallelujah. And it says, thou shalt not kill. Your classmates, your friends, your teachers. And now we have officers and sheriffs and deputies in the schools because the Word of God was removed and the demon spirit moved right in and said, I didn't like that word being there. I didn't like the authority of that scripture. It bothered me every time a demon spirit passed by the Ten Commandments. He'd go, that bothers me because that's the authority and the command of Almighty God. But today, it's not there. So remove that. But as he spoke these words, he says, thou wilt write them upon the post of thy house, verse number 9, and on thy gates. Now, he also would speak. Go over just a few pages to chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. I'm telling you the text Jesus would have taken. In Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and down around verse 13. Look at this. Almost a repetition. Therefore, let's see, let me get back. Verse 13. Here we go. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. He says to them, if you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as I told you earlier in chapter 6, and he says, if you love me, then here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bless you. And then he says in verse 16, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you, and he'll shut up the heavens, and there'll be no rain, and the land will not yield her fruit. And he says, you'll perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gave you. Verse 18, therefore shall you lay up these my words, keep my word in your heart and in your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. They actually wrote scripture and put it in a what we would call a little wristband, or even wore it around their forehead. They were to have this with them. Have it with them. You shall teach them to your children, speaking to them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Write them upon the doorpost of your house, upon thy gates. Can I say, he also would speak, we won't take the time to read it, but he would also speak from Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 through 41. You take the time when you go home, Numbers 15, 37 through 41. But it is re-emphasizing over and over and over and over again to these people gathered in the synagogue that day that their heart is the what God was after. It wasn't their outward appearance. He wants you to love the Lord sincerely with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So he would preach to them. His message would be one of the love of God for them and their love for him. He wanted them to be honest and true inwardly. And forget the external. He said he's working inside. He would deal with them about their relationship with God instead of the ritual. So Jesus preached along these lines. He preached these things. Love God with all your heart. Serve him from within. Let him know you love him. And the rituals and all are not important. It's a relationship with me that is important. Look at your own heart instead of the outward appearance. And can you imagine in the synagogue, here stands all of these religious leaders in their robes and all of the adornment that they had as they had their gathering that day. They all stood like that, and here was Jesus, a carpenter's son, and he's up preaching with authority and power, and them folks are going, wow. This is not my normal Sunday service where I'm drinking coffee and eating my McDonald's burger. Man, oh man. Golly. This guy he has authority. He has power. He is speaking the truth. I was dealing with an atheist in my office years ago on a Monday morning. And this man, there's no doubt in my mind, he had experienced some demon possession. And I don't know but what there was still that lingering effect in him as he came in that day. Because he came in through those doors, the glass doors. And the first thing he said to me is this. I don't know why I'm here. I don't like church. I don't like preachers. I don't like anything to do with it. And I don't know why I'm here. Except. That last night I got scared. And I've never been scared of anything. And he said, I'm scared now. And I don't like you, preacher. I don't like you. I don't know you, but I still don't like you. I don't like the church. But he said, and he held his hand out, and it was doing this. He said, I've never been like that. And I said, well, come on in and sit down in the study. So he came in and sat down, and he repeated some of those same things. Don't know why I'm here. Don't know. I don't like you. I don't like church. I don't like Christians. I don't think there is a God. If there was a God, I would hate him because of all the things that's happened to me. These were his exact words. I sat there and prayed and analyzed the situation, let him get through his rants. And I said, what if I took the word of God and showed you from God's word just what's going on with you? And he looked at me and said, you think you could? I said, I think so. So I started in Genesis with the creation of man, showed him how God made man in his own image, made men perfect, made woman, and that they were fine until that failure of disobedience. And I said, but God stepped in. And I took him further in the scriptures and showed him how that every time God made a way for man to have a relationship with him, man failed. And God stepped in again. And God made another way. We went through the Old Testament. We got to the New. And I said to him, now this, listen closely. Here's the way he made for everybody. Jesus is the one who came and he paid the sin debt for us. That's the final payment for all the sins of all people in all the world. When I made that statement, you'd have thought I hit him with a two before. He sat back in that chair like this, and he hit his chest. Probably busted the sound system. Anyway, hit his chest, and he said these words. You're telling me the truth. And I said, how do you know I'm telling you the truth? You said that you believed I was a liar and the church was liars and Christians were liars and God was a liar and you'd hate him. I was pinning him down. I said, how do you know I told you the truth? Just like this demon and these people. He said, I know it in here. It's not here, it's in here. You know why your children need the Word of God? You know why our nation needs the Word of God? It's because they can know, they will know. God created them in their image. They're going to know that's the truth. And they're either going to respond and be responsible to the truth, or they'll follow a demon and go the other way. Now, demonism has increased tremendously, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's unbelievable. The Catholic Church in Italy, of course, home for them. They have now, they have trained and educated some 350 priests to do exorcisms because the Satan worship and Satan worshipers have so tripled and quadrupled in number. They used to have, in the whole country, 50 priests. And now they have 350. And they're working hard, the Catholic Church, and I'm not going to say anything about them now, but the Catholic Church is working hard all across the world to train people how to cast demons out of individuals because satanic worship is increasing at an alarming rate. Can I just remind you what Paul warned us of in 1 Timothy 4:1. I've done read it to you. What Paul said then and there was this. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days men will give heed to seducing or demonic spirits. And Revelation chapter number 9, two demon armies released at that time out of the abyss, out of the bottomless pit. So demonic presence is going to multiply tremendously before the coming of the Lord. So that helps you understand what on earth is going on. And why are people so crazy? What are, you know, where's common sense anymore? It's not common. Demons are not common. Now, let me show you something in this passage as well. When this demon said unto him, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" You know the very paraphrase of that is, "What do we have in common with you?" This demon spirit is saying, "Leave us alone." All he did was preach. All he did was give the word of God. All he did was give his authority and the word. That's all he gave. And he gave his message. And in his preaching of the word, this demon spirit got so tore up. He said, "Let us alone. Leave me out of this. What do we have in common with you? Nothing." That's exactly right. Demonism, darkness, hell has nothing to do with holiness and the people of God and the heaven that we're going to. Nothing to do with us. And no Christian should dabble in any of that junk, because it's opposite to who is in you. And who that person is of course God the Holy Ghost. But may I say to you, when they said, "What do we have in common?" He was right, they don't have a thing in common. No, how can light and darkness dwell together? Evil and holiness and righteousness. It cannot. And when we see in this passage that old demon speaking out right here so clearly, "Let us alone. You know, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth, that thou art, have you come to destroy us?" What's the word destroy? That was simply to cast him out. You see, demons want to have a warm body. They do. Demon spirits want to have a body to get into. If they don't have a human body, they'll go into animals. You remember the story of the maniac of Gadara, that those demons came out of him, and they said, don't cast us into the abyss. And you say, where is that? That's the bottomless pit that's mentioned several times in Scripture, and Revelation talks about it. That's where the demons, that's where they're held up. They're chained up in the bottomless pit. And during the tribulation, these last days of when the tribulation comes, they're going to be released. And demonic powers like has never been seen on planet Earth will be released during the 7-year tribulation. Two armies, one of them's 200 million strong of demons, demon-possessed people that Revelation talks about there in chapter number 9. So he's saying to Jesus, "Leave us alone. Have you come to destroy me? You come to throw me into the abyss. You come to put me there." And he says, don't do that. Why do they want a warm body? Because they cannot express themselves any other way. I heard the reference to a missionary that was, he had a lot of demonic activity around where he was preaching. A lot of it, witch doctors and the whole nine yards. And God, literally, God did miracles through this missionary. I mean, he did. I could tell you some of the things he did, and you'd think, boy, that's Bible miracles. It was. He was proving to them people how false Satan was. I remember one of their rituals. They had an area of a hot bed of coals, fire built, and these demon-possessed witch doctors were walking across that thing and not burnt. And they challenged this missionary to do that. See how strong your God is. And he, full of the Holy Ghost and in prayer, told his dear wife, said, "God has told me that I can do that." And she, of course, said, "Honey, are you sure?" He said, "God has told me that I can do that." He jumped out, he walked out of his hut, he walked right across those coals and went to the witch doctor and put his finger in his face and said, "My God is greater than yours." And he didn't have a burn on his feet. Now, Jesus, this demon did not want to be cast in there. But Jesus cast him out, we're told. And it says, Jesus said to him, "Hold thy peace, shut up, and come out of him." What was the intention of this demon showing up at the synagogue? Was this demon-possessed man, was he really wanting to be right? Probably, in my thoughts, the man, in his right thinking, wanted to. He wanted to get rid of that thing that was in him. He knew he acted irrationally. He knew that this was not normal. He knew that he'd have these rages, and he couldn't do a thing about it, just like the young man who heard this voice came out of him that wasn't his voice. They know that. I wonder if he wasn't there because he's seeking some help. But then this demon overtakes him and speaks out. And this man is sitting there in essence or standing there helpless. And here's this voice coming out. And this fellow's quivering and shaking. And this voice and convulsing, this voice comes out. And Jesus says, "Shut up! Be quiet! And come out of him." And in that statement, the demon hadn't absolutely no other choice. When the authority of God's word goes forth, they have no other choice but to obey. And he caused the man to have convulsions, no doubt what we would call a fit, threw him over into the crowd, and then the demon was out, and Luke says the man wasn't hurt. So he stood up and said, "Glory to God, this thing's out of me. Hallelujah." And praise his holy name. The authority to deliver him. You see the authority that he used, just his word, to denounce this demon. You see the authority that he used to deliver this man. It's the same authority that we have today, this very word of God. The command he gave him, "Be quiet and come out." The cure happened immediately. It wasn't something that had to be over a period of time, and we need to get you special analysis and psychoanalysis and counseling. We need to get that for you. No, no. Jesus just spoke and bam, the demon had to leave. And then the consequences was the folks were amazed. That word amazement is literally they were spellbound, going, "Have you ever seen anything like this?" No, because never a man spake like that man. That was Jesus. Now here's the lessons for us today, ladies and gentlemen. In these days where you and I see things that we're wondering, how on earth can this happen? How can this be? How can we have those in leadership that the transgender craze seems to be their golden calf? And truly it is. It truly is. They worship it. And that's what they're after. How on earth can this be? Well, I'll tell you what a congressman told me a few years ago. He was actually leading the Congressional Prayer Caucus. He was the head congressman, was leading that. I asked him, I said, I've got to ask you this. Can you feel demonic presence up there? He said, absolutely. That's the reason we have the prayer caucus. Because he said, I some days don't know how on earth I can stand. And that is before we got all the junk that's in there now. He says, I don't know some days how I can stand without my prayer and my Bible and my Christian brothers that I have that meets with me in our prayer caucus. Sad to say, out of 500, it wasn't, but there was less than 200 that was in the prayer caucus. So what I'm saying is this, church. This miracle teaches us the authority of God's word. You hide that word in your heart. You use that word. That is your sword. We can claim the blood of Jesus. We can plead the power of the blood of Christ and rebuke the devils and the demons of hell. And the Lord does that work. And understand, that's what He does. Just that authority. And I praise my God for doing that. I'm glad He's in that, that His authority is enough. The Word of God is enough. We don't have to have special ointments or oils or things. I'm saying to you as a pastor, as your, I'm going to say a guardian in some way, as your shepherd, that you have the authority right there in your hands, right there is the very word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit within you. The Lord uses you to rebuke this, to bind this, to cast this away from you. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. When we see the rest of the world going crazy and all of that's going on and the attack coming toward us and coming toward our family and around our family, you remember the authority is in the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. He had the authority in His teaching. That is the truth. That is the key thing. The Word and the authority that He had to denounce this demon. And also the authority to deliver this man. Hallelujah. And He still has that. Oh, so many dear precious souls around our world that needs to be delivered today. Oh, they're demonically oppressed. Now, can a demon possess a believer? And my answer, I think, according to the Scripture, is no. Because a Christian is possessed of the Spirit. Can a demon possess a backslidden Christian? He can oppress that person to the point that they'll listen to the voice of the devil more than the voice of God the Holy Ghost within them. They suppress that voice. They're not possessed, but they're so suppressed the voice of the Holy Spirit that demon spirit's voice becomes louder and louder. And this voice within, they will not give heed to. So I'm saying to you that the people that are unsaved, though, Satan can enter in and out at his will. Demonic spirits can come in and out like the atheist friend here. And by the way, hallelujah, he got saved that day. He didn't just say, I know you're telling the truth because it's in here. But when I got to giving him the gospel of how Jesus loved us and died for us and paid our sin debt and rose again and told him that, his words were this. And here's a man, an atheist, his words were this. How would he help me? And I said, if you'll just ask him, he'll do that. I can see him in my mind right this moment. He literally fell out of a chair in my office. He fell on his knees. I didn't tell him what to pray. He fell on his knees and said, Lord, I didn't know you listened. I didn't know you was there. I didn't know you was real. But I believe you are. There's something in here that says you are. Would you forgive me? Lord, I've done this and this and this. He started naming a whole lot of things. And I thought, I wished he wouldn't say all that, but he started naming all of this, and I was on my knees at the couch. Lord, Lord, he said that you'd save me. He said you'd help me. Will you do that? Would you do that? And there was a quietness. And I still on my knees. I turned around to look. I thought he's passed out. But he's sitting up like this. And his countenance was different. And he said, he must have done it. He must have done it, preacher. He must have done it. And I jumped up. He got up. He big old boy. He picked me up like this and danced around. He must have done it. He must have done it. He said, I've never, listen to this. I've never felt so free and lighthearted in my life. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. His dear wife was sitting in the other chair. She hadn't spoken during, I was an hour and a half in this session, nearly 2 hours. She had said hardly anything. And when he got saved and was finished, she looked up at me and said, tears in her eyes, said, I don't have what he's got either. And so she got saved that day. Isn't that marvelous? Amen. God's Word delivers us.